Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show here on New Zealand Sports Radio. And I can promise you, we are not a burner account. We are the real deal and we'll be here the whole time. And you can have a chat with me if you want to have a chat with me at Driving More on the old Twitter. Obviously, you can get in touch with us via our Facebook page as well, New Zealand Sport Radio. So do that, folks. Don't forget, we're here at 8 p.m. every single Tuesday with the Driving More Show, or you can catch it as a podcast on the on your old favourite podcatchers, such as New Zealand Sport Radio. And joining me this evening, I've got Sir Stephen Harris. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Paul. Always a privilege and a pleasure to be on, I'll call it the PDM.
Call it what, sorry?
I'll call it the PDM.
The Paul PDM? Driving
Paul Driving More.
Paul's Driving More. And if people want to get in touch with you, Stephen, how do they do that?
Oh, they can get a hold of me on my Twitter handle, which is h.stephen_73.
Something like that. Stephen H.73. But anyway, whatever. What? Somewhere like that. That's what he does. He does it for all the connections, folks. That's why he does it. He doesn't like me, actually. He does it purely to grow his Twitter profile and his social media presence. That's why Stephen does this. Totally. Some of the stuff we'll talk about this evening is Tonga versus the Cook Islands with the Rugby World Cup qualifier. We've got South Africa versus the Lions and also Razzie's social media videos that he's been putting up. There's been a bit of Farah Palmer Cup. RTS is heading back, or is headed back already, maybe to New Zealand early to be due to the old COVID immigration stuff. We've got some. We'll see if we'll have a chat about some NPC stuff. And as we are talking, the Olympic Sevens quarterfinals are taking place as well. So lots and lots to chat about this evening, Stephen. So have you been catching much of the Olympic Sevens?
Yeah, a little, excuse me, Paul, a little bit on and off. I caught up with the highlights of New Zealand's victory over their trans-Tasman neighbours, excuse me, earlier today, which has put them, from what I believe, on the right side of the draw. And when I mean the right side of the draw, avoiding both South Africa and Fiji, from what I understand. But on saying that, you shouldn't underestimate the teams that are on your side of the draw. But I think New Zealand take on Canada in their quarterfinal game this evening. Or, in fact, while the show is on, Paul, I'm pretty sure we can get that information off the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. So All Black Sevens will be taking on Canada at 8:30 p.m. At 9 o'clock, that's all this is New Zealand time, folks. 9 p.m., Great Britain will be taking on the USA. Followed at 9:30 by South Africa, or the Blitz Blocks against Argentina. And then the final quarterfinal is Fiji versus Australia at 10 p.m. this evening. So very good on that one. Already we've had Ireland beat South Korea 31-0 in their in sort of, I guess, the bowl or the plate semi-final. So they will either face Kenya or Japan in that 9th-10th playoff in that one. So, yes, our own just confirming the timing of that one. So, yes, so that's how the Olympics are going. Obviously, New Zealand came through undefeated from their games, even if it was close with Australia. Only 12-14 was the margin in that one in the end, after Australia lost to Argentina earlier in the tournament. Argentina going through, obviously, against as well. So three teams from that group through. Team GB, which obviously me with my England jersey up there, I'm interested in, if I can get my finger right, won their first two games without conceding any points at all, but then lost to Fiji in their final group stage game, and hence now up against the USA. So that all takes place today. Tomorrow, we'll have the quarterfinals and also the semifinals and the final for that. And then the women's competition kicks off on a Wednesday. Aaron's got Fiji down as favourites of gold. I think that'll be a lot of people's decision. But looking online at the, I've gone blank as to the algorithm's name now. But one of the algorithmic prediction engines has got New Zealand down as favourites to win the Olympic gold. So, let's say I do think it is really between New Zealand and also the other one, so the one I've gone blank with now. Oh wow, look at this. Stephen, you've got some fans in the live chat there. Craig says you're a good radio commentator. Remember him from years back. 99% it's sure, it's not mistaken identity. Correct, Stephen used to do the radio sport commentary for Northland in the NPC, and also as a regular dial-in to various shows on that station.
Yeah, may have been guilty as charged.
So, yep, Craig, you've got the right guy. Now I'm coming up in his footsteps as a commentator, as I did the Northland Club Finals with him the other weekend. So there we go. I'll usurp him. As long as there aren't too many island names, because
he's just jumping on my shirt tails, Craig. That's all.
It's not what you know; it's who you know. Simon, good to see you in the live chat as well there. And congratulations to Uruguay and Chile, who are into the next round of the Rugby World Cup qualifiers. Uruguay will play the winners of Canada versus the USA. Apparently, so all fun and games over there. Looks like the USA, by the way, looking at November internationals, is they will not be touring this November. They'll be playing their World Cup qualifiers, and then they'll also be hosting the All Blacks in Chicago before playing Ireland in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas! There we go. Stephen, what do you think of the All Blacks heading over to Chicago to play the USA in the final?
Oh, definitely all about the cash, I suppose. But I'm not overly excited about it, to be brutally honest, because as probably in terms of a competitive game of rugby, that it probably won't be. Primarily about money in that particular market.
No, absolutely. What side do you think will send that? Will be sending, or Steve Hansen will be sending? Do you think he'll do a 52-man squad like he did when they went up to play Japan and send a totally different squad, or do you think it will be a semi first choice squad?
Well, for one, I don't think Steve Hansen's involved anymore.
Oh, sorry.
Ian Fozzie.
Yeah, Ian Foster.
Fozzie Bear. Yeah, I mean to say, he's already stated that he's trying to create some depth. I would be very, very surprised if he sends his strongest combination up there. I mean to say, his leading players, well, depending on where COVID takes us, should have played a lot of rugby by then. If they haven't been, if there is no sort of a lot of test rugby on the schedule. They'll probably be playing a bit of NPC, I would imagine. So for me, I'll be a little bit surprised if he sends a full strength team up there. I think he'll probably send maybe something similar to a probably players, probably 20 to 40 up there, I'm picking.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, yeah, it's interesting. We'll see if some players do fly straight to Europe like they did, and not be there at all, or whether they'll all go en masse to the USA. I would think that you'd send some straight to Europe, even if it's purely for a COVID mitigation reason to avoid to just reduce the chances of your sort of not being allowed in as a squad into the country and actually having a full team available. So, it'll be interesting to see how Foster uses that game. I wouldn't be surprised to see an entire shadow squad of players going, or maybe something like five or six players that would fly on to Europe if as squad members and not available and not playing that first game, would be my kind of gut feel as to how he'll do it. But we'll have to wait and see how that all pans out on that one, especially after the way the USA lost to both England and Ireland in this recent window as well, over in Europe. Just a quick update at half time between Kenya and Japan. It's 14-7, folks, those watching live. Obviously, if you're on the podcast, you'll know the result already, but there we go. Or watching back to the video. Simon knows, Stephen hasn't got a job with the Sports Entertainment Network yet, unfortunately, or actually fortunately for me. Because he wouldn't be able to be on here, then he'd be kind of barred from doing other work at a guess. But there we go. Let's have a quick chat about the NPC squads then, because Nocturnal Rights has brought it up in the chat. He says, "Look, I walked past the Otago squad down at Logan Park today. Interesting at the level the players don't seem to have the same." The players don't have the same muscle mass as Super Rugby level. They still look like big men to me. The NPC teams are made up of the Super Rugby players who are not playing internationals. So, I mean, players like, I mean, Ethan de Groot, for example, will be turning out for Southland and he was playing for the All Blacks not that long ago. Then there'll be players, and then the rest of the players are made up of club players who are not full-time rugby players, essentially. They'll have other jobs as well. And so, unsurprisingly, that people will have, that they won't be the same. So they won't have the same amount of time to condition, do they, Stephen?
Oh, very much so. I'm saying that just for the sake of Nocturnal Rights. If you look at the Highlanders squad, and I won't go through all of the squad, but they pretty much, if they wanted to, they could pretty much pick a super rugby backline. Just to give you an example, Kane Hamilton, Josh Ioane, Thomas Umanga Jensen, Seal Tompkinson, Jonah Nariki, Freedom Vahakaloa, and Sam Gilbert. Just to give you a few ideas of who they can pick, and just in terms of depth, of course, they've brought back the likes of Matt Faddis, who's come back from playing overseas and also picked up the very promising, exciting Ray New from Southland. Of course, in the case of Southland, the Southland team still hasn't been named at the stage. Obviously, Dale McLeod's still trying to fill some gaps at this very late stage, and that's after a few guys have obviously defected to other unions, the likes of Selby Rickett earlier in the year. But of course, he's had a lot of bad luck in and around his props. Pays not to be a prop in Southland rugby at the moment, Paul, because you tend to get injured.
Yeah, look, I mean, Nocturnus, I guess my point is, over the years, bulk has been increasing with diets, etc. Absolutely, it has. There isn't the same variation in body size as there used to be, and as you do see in the Farrah Palmer Cup. But looking at the Otago squad, as you say, as a front row, you've got Ainsley and Bauer there, Liam Coltman. Then in the locks, you could have Josh Dixon with probably Will Tucker. Then Len Cheese, Dylan Nell, and Slade McNabb. So perhaps two players in that starting pack wouldn't be Super Rugby. And then in the back line, as you say, you can have an entire back line of Super Rugby players or full-time professional players, with Fadders being not really, he is a Super Rugby player, but let's be honest, not this year. And you've got to think, that Otago side is in the Championship as well. It's not even in the Premiership. It's still. Some of the squads are really stacked this season, aren't they?
Oh, very, very much so. It's interesting that we started sort of in the South Island, the likes of, I look at those loose forwards as well. You know, guys like Slade McDowell, Lynchies, they've been around for a while. There's a few new names there, but Dylan Nell, very experienced player. But one player I'm very keen to see is Sean Withy, who was one of the standout players at the 2021 Under-20s tournament this year for the Highlanders. He's a young player with a really, really big future. So I'd like to think with their squad, they can sort of implement some of these young guys into the team during the season. But man, in terms of Championship, they got a squad there that could challenge a few Premiership teams, Paul. But I'd probably almost have them on paper as maybe the favourites for the Championship.
I was looking through the teams and the championships to run through those. I mean, counties Manukau, Manawatu, North Harbour, Northland, Otago, Southland, and Taranaki. You've got to say Otago will be up there. Manawatu have gone shopping to a certain degree. It's going to be interesting to see how they go. They've not named their side yet, but I think the big loss, I think Jamie Booth is out for the season for Manawatu, which will be a massive loss for them in there. So North Harbour would be a team that I don't think they. I don't know. They have named theirs, but I mean, with players like Hall and Gatlin, they've got a good halfbacks. But then you've got problems in like the midfield, in the fact that they've got only got three midfielders named, and their outside backs again. Five of those are in red on the old wiki, which means that they've not got their own wiki page. Just gives you an idea that those are all basically rookies. So it looks like a pretty much a rookie back line for North Harbour this year.
Oh, yeah, it is. Actually, it's probably good that we actually stay with the likes of North Harbour, maybe because all the I don't know whether it's happened by hook or by crook, but all the teams we've mentioned so far are all the Championship teams. So we may as well stay in the Championship, Paul. So good thinking. Just in terms of North Harbour, they had a run against Northland up in Kaitaia on the weekend and had a very convincing win by 43 points to 17, although you can't probably take too much out of pre-season games. Northland weren't exactly fielding a full-strength side up in the far north. I think they're probably looking more to this weekend. But just looking at their squad, yeah, that midfield, a lot of new guys in the midfield. I mean to say the likes of James Little, he's been with Harbour for the last couple of seasons, but new names, Henry Taifu and Finney Anisi are certainly new names to me, although they've got a lot of excitement on the outside backs, and any back line that's got Sean Stevenson at the back, but a lot of quick stepping guys like Thomas Aoki, and also Cade Banks is a newcomer who's come down from Mahurangi to Takapuna this year. And looks an exciting player, quite a small player, but he can play wing and fullback. And of course, Moses Leo, who played for the he was part of the New Zealand Seven system earlier in the year, he's going to be one player to watch in the NPC. He marked up on Rennie Ranger on the weekend, and he gave Ranger plenty of problems with his outside pace. And first five, well, Bryn Gatlin, I think if they can keep Bryn fit. But they've also got a good deputy in Jack Hyten. Jack Hyten was in the Blues, unbelievably, back in, when was it? I think it was 2019. So he hasn't been spotted since then. He was one of these young players that was pretty much picked up by the Blues, and I thought they were, but really nothing eventuated. And of course, at halfback, Not too sure about the other two halfbacks they have there. Asia Hullo from the looks like the Takapuna Club, and Sayosi Ninginingi, who plays for Western United. Yeah, pretty much new to this level of rugby, so I can probably see somebody like Bryn Hall spending a lot of time, a lot of game time during most of the Harbours games, especially against championship sides, I reckon, Paul.
Yeah, but I think also that pack as well. Okay, Carl Twenty Cafe is going to be away, so they've got Mafaleo, but then again, it starts getting a bit thin at prop. Again, in the locks, Jacob Pierce, Sione Taleafeo, again, starting to get a bit thin there. They only got three locks listed. Amongst those loose forwards, Dylan Hunt's injured. That's massive for them. Murphy Taramai's there. But again, you look after that, you look after him, you're looking around going, there's not much. So, yeah, it's a pretty – that platform isn't going to be so great. So, yeah, you've got to say Otago looking – I say this, the strongest out of – out of those teams. Nocturnal writes, says the gap in the NPC is really between the Premiership top four and the rest. Well, that's interesting, because I'm not really sure who you think the top four are, Nocturnal, in this one, because obviously Canterbury's in there with an absolutely stacked team in this one. Obviously they've signed Naholo, even though Naholo was playing in the Otago club competition. He came out and said that he talked around to a few teams, but no one wanted him, or perhaps had space in their sides for him at the time. So you add him into there, you then add Jack Debrasini in there as well, and you're like, whoa, not only do these guys have already players like Oliver Yeager, Daniel Leonard Brown, Conan O'Donnell, Timothy Williams, so they're going to bring off Super Rugby players off the bench there in the props. You've got players like Luke Romano, Mitchell Dunshay. Again, then you've got Cullen Grace. Tom Christie, unfortunately, is injured. But again, look, they are going to be there or thereabouts. They are looking like the team to beat straight away on this one. Clearly, Tasman, the champions from the last 2 years, will be again. A very good squad. Players like Blackadder's in there. Finley Christie's missing because he'll obviously be with the All Blacks as injury cover initially. But Lester Fayanuku's still with them. Mark Talaya, we know he scores a whole bunch of tries. Nankerville, Mitchell Hunt, Perry Parkinson, Quinton Strange. They've got quality throughout, so they're going to be there. Auckland is an interesting one. They've not named their squad as yet, I don't believe. But we've definitely seen a number of defections already. We've also a changing in coaching staff. So there's definitely some unrest in there, and it'll be a bit of change. Sure, Auckland have been in the final throughout the last 3 years, I think it is. Winning it as well once. So those are three teams you'd expect to be powerhouses. But then you've got... You think about sort of Wellington, also a traditional powerhouse at this level. Again, they've not named their side yet, but they'll have players like Wes Houston, Julian Surveyor, Jackson Garden Bashup, you'd expect still to be there. I'm not sure if Vince Arso will still be there, whether he's gone overseas already. But via Fafito, again, another player that may be there or will go overseas. But again, they'll again be asking questions. And that's what you consider to be your top four teams. But then you've got player teams like Bay of Plenty, who are recent challengers at this level. And having made the playoffs last year, what have they gone and done? Well, they've gone and added players like Sean Wainui from Taranaki in there. Manukai Selby Ricketts been added to the squad as well. So I'm not sure where this top four is, because I think Bay of Plenty, you'd have to put in that top four. As being a strong side.
I think so, Paul. I know the TAB's got them at $8, I think it is, which I find, and Auckland are at $4.50, which I find really, really strange. No offence, but we haven't seen an Auckland team named. Some of their better players have have left Auckland. They probably won't have their All Blacks available a lot of the time. You know, if you look through that Bay of Plenty Steamers squad, jeepers, they've you know, not just the players that they've picked up, but also some of the really, really promising players that they've actually got running around. Like, for example, Cohen Herbert is a New Zealand New Zealand under 20s, New Zealand secondary schools open side flanker with a really, really big reputation. So, man, I tell you what.
Fetu Douglas as well. He wasn't there last season. So Fetu Douglas is now a steamer.
exactly. Fetu Maramara Douglas. Also, Tevita Maifelio. I can't recall him being with the Bay of Plenty Steamers this year. Obviously, the man from the Hurricanes. So I look through their squad and, yeah, a lot of depth, a lot of names that we know. Obviously, probably the only All Black I'm really looking at is probably Sam Kane, but he probably won't be running around. It's debatable whether he'll be running around for the All Blacks this year. Maybe, maybe not, I say, at this stage. But, you know, and of course, a lot of good Super Rugby experience, Paul.
Sam Kane won't be available because he's injured. I can't see him being there. But, yeah, you look through the rest of that list and you go, yep, that's pretty much all that'll all be there. I mean, Kurt Eklund had a good season, but he's clearly fifth or sixth choice by the All Blacks at hooker now at the moment. I guess the only problem is potentially in midfield. There are some question marks there as to what, but they played Chase Tiatia in there. And quite happily, Sean Wainui is quite happy to play at 12, 13, sorry, at this level as well. So, no problems for the base. That's five teams that are competitive.
Paul, I was going to say there's a real interesting selection in that Bay of Plenty Steamers to me, and it's the Queensland Reds loose forward. He normally plays either six or eight, probably mostly six. Angus Scott Young is in Bay of Plenty Steamer squad. So that's a real interesting selection to me, but it also says to me how Bay of Plenty they were semi-finalists last year. They will probably want to go one step better.
Yep, I mean, Waikato haven't announced their squad, but they have announced tonight that Liam Messam has re-signed. So he's available again. And then finally, the other team that's in there is Hawke's Bay, who haven't announced their squad yet. Sure, they'll be missing Brad Webber. Fakatava's injured. So they'll have a bit of an issue potentially around scrum half. This is a team that, again, has been together for a long time. A lot of these players come through school together. So there's a lot of good players here. Again, they're Ranfurly Shield holders. So I don't see a top four within that premiership. I think the premiership is going to be competitive from top to bottom this year. I don't see one of those teams going winless in the same way that we've seen teams go in the last couple of seasons and get dropped out. So that whoever gets relegated Hawke's Bay will go in as favourites to be relegated because they got promoted last year, I think. It's going to be a real tough premiership this year. As well,
yeah, I go along with that. I think the other thing with Hawke's Bay, I'm not 100% sure whether they've named their squad, but they haven't bought too many players in from what I've seen. It looks from what I can see, I think they've gone local, they've brought in the odd player from the outside. But I think a real big loss for them is going to be Folau Fakatava, who was outstanding for them in 2020, Paul.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Apparently, Sam Kane is hoping to come back for Bay of Plenty and then the All Blacks. Well, yes. I'd expect Sam Kane, perhaps also Jack Goodhue as well, if they get back, to play a couple of NPC games to get themselves up to speed before going straight back into the All Blacks. But Angus Scott Young, as you say, one of these Nocturnal Rights says, is a player who wants to make the Wallabies. So good idea to come over here. Because look, with the NRC now not existing in Australia, there's no rugby in Australia for them to play and to develop their game. And they're not the only ones, are they? Because I think you were talking about someone over from the Waratahs has come over as well to play some NPC. It helps if you're not muted, Stephen.
That actually helps as well, yeah. Well, hopefully the plane that's come over is not muted. But yeah, Sam Caird, who turned out for the Waratahs in Super Rugby this year, has signed with Northland for the 2021 season. So just currently in MIQ from what I believe at the minute, but might be available for Northland's first up game, or will probably be joining the squad. So once again, I can probably tell you a little bit about Northland this year. Probably much of the same team that they had in 2020. They have brought in the very promising Rivers Reihana, who was with Waikato last year. And yeah, they've certainly bolstered their pack in terms of size, especially in the front row. Kalio Pasi Uri Lapeka from Wellington, the New Zealand under-20s tight head prop, has gone north. So they're lucky that they've picked up Kalio Pasi from Wellington. Also, the number eight who went to Northland last year, that's Isilele Manu, who's the younger brother of Pauliasi Manu. Went up to North, probably not in the best condition in 2020, but is in much better condition this year. And just looking through the rest of their pack, also the one player that they actually have picked from outside the union, and really that was, it was probably more of a precaution at the time, just in terms of they want to keep their locking stocks high. And of course, Josh Goodhue's taken a few knocks this year, and they have signed Liam Hallam-Eames from Auckland, who was part of their Moreton Cup squad. But pretty much going through the rest of the back line, pretty much the same back line that they had in 2021, with a couple of sort of younger additions into the side. Probably for the Northland Taniwha, their strength is definitely going to be in their forwards. And of course, I shouldn't forget Cara Pryor returning from playing MRL rugby for New York.
Yeah, and just one there for New York, because they're still in the, actually, no, they're just going to be, they've just been knocked out because they made it to the semi-finals from memory. But Riz Reihana, that's a really interesting one. I guess that's why Sky Fiani is no longer getting a look in, and is probably a replacement for him. But yeah, Riz Reihana, that's going to be a really good one. He can play 15 as well as 10, so it'll be interesting to see how they do. Yeah, as you say, a guy, someone that I know because he's a Waikato boy, and someone I've seen play for them quite a bit. Simon Hughes makes a good point here that how about the Cook Islands joining the NPC after their game against Tonga? And yeah, that would be a good idea. I guess the problem here is going to be that team is very much amateur players. With that note in mind, let's have a quick listen or hear from their fly half, Reece Joyce, who I had a chat with straight after the game. I've not tested this, so hopefully this works, folks. But this was my chat with Joyce.
We are after the Rugby World Cup qualifier between Tonga and the Cook Islands with Reece Joyce. So, how have you, obviously, a good start to the game. You guys really came out firing from the sheds and got yourselves 3-0 up.
Yeah, we had a process that to try to kick the ball and keep it behind them and just play in their half. We did come away with points nice and early, which got the tails up. But as Tonga is, they're a dominant team, and yeah, they proceeded to get through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The scrum time really was very powerful from them. And I feel sorry for your front five, to be honest. I think they're going to be sore tomorrow morning. But how has the sort of last 3 weeks been, having that time together as a squad, to have a number of games as a team?
Yeah, well, first of all, like you said, the scrums are very dominant from the Tongan team. That's what we're expecting. I'm not too sure how sore the bodies will be as I'm not in the scrums, but I'm definitely sure there'll be some bumps and bruises. In terms of being in camp with the boys, yes, we did have a few runs and whatnot, but what can I say? For a small nation that just got thrown together, I'm very proud of all the boys and the efforts that they put through. I'm sure everyone else around is very proud of us as well. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. Look, you've got family written on your arm. It is about family, isn't it? As I say, it is a small nation. 53rd in the world. It would have been a massive upset for you guys to go through, let's be honest. But to do it for your family, to have someone like Lima, I guess, to help coach you guys as well, and seeing him come back with family, it does show this has been a real big family thing for the Cook Islands.
Yeah, well, like you said, family is one of the things that we base this camp on, just trying to stay tight and whatnot. Lima bringing the experience that he did, and he's brought three of his brothers with him. That just goes to show that there's a lot of heart, talent, and yeah, family is something that wins the crowd. So yeah,
now it's been great to see family in the crowd, all the babies, and it has been a great family atmosphere for this game. So sorry that you came up short, but well done for showing the heart and spirit out there. And thank you so much for putting on a great show for us.
Nah, no worries. Like I said, thanks to all the support and all the families. I hope we've done them proud. And cheers, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you've done them well proud.
Cheers.
And as he said in that, I guess one of the comments in there is that he said this team has been thrown together, which gives you an idea as to how often these guys get to play together, which is pretty much next to never. Lima Sopoanga, he's turned up and brought his three brothers. Now that's that's like 10% of the team that has suddenly turned up from nowhere and been added to the squad. So look, this is a for the Cook Islands to put together a team for the NPC would be a massive stretch. Putting a team together for 3 weeks once a year is very different to put and maybe once or twice for other games. Is one thing. Putting together a team for 12 weeks, which is what you have to do for the it's 10 weeks of regular season, 2 weeks of finals. You need 3 or 4 weeks at least of preseason. So you're looking at a 14 to 16 week campaign, and I think that would be a massive ask for the Cook Islands without some serious investment from World Rugby, etc. Stephen.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I agree, Paul, and if you think about the attrition rate that even your Mitre Team Cup teams have, during the season, when they have to basically call on resources from either their development squads or wider training squads that they have within their group, to ask a team like the Cook Islands, who have got absolutely nowhere near the depth as some of these minor team cup sides. I mean, as I give you an example, there were a couple of players from. There were a couple of players who were from Northern, O'Neill Raw, who was locked from Kerikeri. I mean to say, he's probably, to be brutally honest, he would probably make the Northland development side, wider training squad. But Trevor Rudolph, who was playing fullback, he probably wouldn't get anywhere near the development squad. And I mean that very respectfully, Paul, but it's just the level of rugby that they play.
You're quite right. The Cook Islands do play in a Pacifica tournament, but I say that's probably the only time they get to play each year. So in that Pacifica tournament, they'll probably play 5 or 6 games, a year. To get 3 weeks together like they've had here, playing Tasman, the New Zealand under-20s, and then Tonga. is a level of play that they've never seen. So, look, it's fantastic. As I said on the interview, they gave a good account of themselves. They showed lots of spirit. It was great. They definitely did not let their families down at all. And it was wonderful. But they were up against it. But you're quite right. The NPC would be a fantastic way of growing the sport of them. As someone has said here, I'm sure the other NPC sides would love a boys trip away to Rarotonga during the season as well.
And you know, Paul, maybe even trying to integrate some of these guys into Heartland rugby. You know.
Yep.
You know, just to give them a reasonable level of experience or an opportunity to get better, to be in a squad situation. Because I mean, to say, you know, some of these Heartland teams aren't too bad. They aren't total easy beats, as far as I'm concerned.
True, but I think having a Cook Islands team in the NPC as a team would be really useful for them playing together, etc. And that's and if one or two of the players could be in other teams, that'd be fine. But I think it would be a fantastic move for them. I just can't see it actually happening, to be honest with you. It was very interesting. It was interesting to have a chat with the Tonga national coach after the game, because he looked to us, is Stephen watching Air Raid Bombers? Now, I think he's probably watching the Sevens game, I guess. On his TV,
yes. I can update you. New Zealand have just scored before halftime, and they're leading by 19 points to nil with a conversion to come, which is out in front of the stick. So it should be converted. So it should be 21 points to nil.
The tone of his interview after this game was very different to when I talked to him after the first Samoa-Tonga game, very different to what was being reported in the news as well in the week prior about player availability and all that kind of stuff. So let's have a listen to the Tonga national coach after this game.
Yeah, relieved. You know, you just don't know about those games, and you know, first 10 minutes they put up a really, really good fight. We knew if we kept the pressure on, we could finally break them, and we thought probably just after half time we, you know, probably start to feel a little bit comfortable. But to all their credit, you know, we understand the challenges they go through, so we've been there. We're very happy and relieved.
And I get. Early on, perhaps showed the fact that you could only play, you had sort of nine players from last week, a lot of changes, a bit disjointed, taking a bit of a while to settle in.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was that many. We were in a bit of a panic in the middle of the week. We were looking for players, but we had the core group there. I mean, we had four injuries, five injuries, and for whatever other reasons, in the one kind of position in the back row. So that's probably why there's two new caps in the back row today, and then two came off the bench. So on the positive side, you know, building depth, and we had a chance to look at them at a test standard level.
And you got, as you say, building, but also that combination, particularly the front five at scrum time, were really powerful tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about probably tight head. Ben Tamafuna is probably, you know, was at the best of his and the best at that position at one time.
Yep.
He's still pretty good, plying his trade over in France. So, and then you have Silla come on, who's been very good for us all year. Yeah, the front three is a bit of a positive for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess next step is going to be up against an Asian qualifier. Are you concerned yet about sort of getting players available for that, when that game might be?
I haven't thought about it. I've heard that it's Hong Kong. Don't know where that game will be, but it'll sink in over the next couple of weeks, I think.
Okay, so just working with World Rugby and with other people to try and just make sure it's all as many players as possible are available?
Yeah, I mean, that helps us. We'll try and Yeah, we'll try and get our best squad. From now on in, I think without any of these COVID restrictions, we should be able to have access to our best team, best players.
This is awesome. What do you take away from an international window like this for yourself as a coach, having all these rotating players and new players coming through?
It's great. Any time we spend together, it's fantastic. You know, we only come together twice a year for around 4 weeks, whereas those Tier 1 nations, you know, they're together months and months. So the more time we spend together, the better.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, and congratulations on the win.
Yeah, thank you. No, we're very, like I said, very relieved.
We're stoked.
So as you can hear, the RNZ, the lady there, say she's stoked about the win at the end there.
You're owning that press conference, mate.
Oh, look, the other two clearly, yeah, we had an agreement that basically the Radio New Zealand lady would open it up so I didn't have any issues embarrassing myself or embarrassing people about pronunciations of names. And then they basically, yes, it was Paul. Yeah, off you go, and then we'll just we'll just chip in if at the end. So I went there asking. I basically put it out there for them to say, yes, we need World Rugby's help to get players. And he didn't take that. He didn't take the opportunity, which I was a bit surprised at, and seemed to lay the ball more at the door of COVID than of access to players, which I thought was a bit of a surprise there with that one. But maybe he feels comfortable. I don't know.
I had read somewhere that they had, even before the tournament, they had identified something along the lines of 25 props of Tongan descent, but none of them were interested. So it just shows you that, yeah, even basically getting access to not just players but quality players is difficult.
Yeah, no, exactly. And as I say, I went out there. I thought I'd given the opportunity to publicly say yes, please, World Rugby, help us. And he didn't take it, which I was a bit surprised at. Interesting there, as you say, they went through 20-odd. They ended up calling up a 40-year-old prop in Sona Tuamalolo. Did I butcher that one or did I do okay, Steve?
No, you did right. You did well.
You can catch my interview with him. It's that's on Facebook. Sorry, he's 39. He's not 40 until November. Jeez,
I'm doing a bit of justice.
This is the fella. He was great to have a chat with after the game, and he stepped up. I did point out to him that he ruined his record, because before this game, he was 20 games with 20 points, and that by playing this game and not scoring, he's now 21 games with 20 points. So he has got less. He's got more games than points. So yes, it'll be. He was gracious with his time as well. Simon reckons that the game between Tonga and the Asian qualifier will be played in July next year. I heard it was going to be played in January, which is why I was really concerned about player release. So we'll see as to when that is actually played with that one. But look, that to me was one of the most enjoyable games I've watched in a long time between Tonga and the Cook Islands. I really enjoyed that one. I know we've been up in Northland, in the radio box up there. I've been in FMG Stadium a couple of times with the Chiefs, but walking back into Navigation Home Stadium, into that press box, it did feel like, okay, yeah, you're kind of back home, Paul. This is, you're back in the this is NPC time is back. Fun times. It's because it's not the best stadium in the world by a long way. as one of them said, yeah, it's kind of cute. Yeah,
what you're trying to say is it's a time warp. You're going.
Oh, absolutely! It's a massive, time warp.
That's what you're saying.
But it's a comfy time warp. It's like that old jumper that fits nicely.
Navigation Home Stadium, old jumper. I'll remember that.
The old jumper, yeah. And as Steve will know, in our internal chat, I've been talking about buying myself a portable second monitor, because Navigation Home Stadium, they have a Cathay Ray Tube TV as the second, and there is no big screen at the stadium. So if you want to see a replay, that's your only way. And it is fuzzy, to say the very least. So thank you to all my Patreons and supporters of New Zealand Sport Radio, because you're the only reason I can potentially afford it to buy this second screen that allow me to see replays at the game. Otherwise, you're trying to do it without replays, which is very difficult, as Stephen will know. And if you want to become a supporter, I've put it on the ticker at the bottom of the screen there. Patreon.com/NZSportRadio for those of you listening to the podcast. So congratulations to Tonga and well done to Cook Islands. It was an enjoyable game, but they were always up against it. It was never going to happen. Simon says, the Tonga coach is currently being paid by World Rugby. You're very hard to criticise the organisation. Well, there is that, true. We'll have to wait and see. But the difference in criticising is and asking for help. And I wasn't asking him to criticise them. I was asking him to ask for help. I was trying to put it out there that he'd ask for help. I try and put my questions in a positive light. I don't try and do them at negative or go fishing generally. But this was one where I just thought I'd put that out there to see if he would ask for help, basically. But he didn't. What other things have we? Oh, yes. Razzie. Deary me. What is he up to? If he did look, so right. So there's folks who aren't on Twitter. There's a Twitter account that's been up, and there's apparently been around. Squid Rugby has looked into this and said it's been around since since Razzie, and I've gone blank. What's the name of the South African head coach?
At the moment,
can always change Razzie, but it's not.
I was going to say Razzie Erasmus, but no, you're right. He's the director of rugby now.
Jacques Nabar. So Jacques Nabar is the head coach. Now, when they were at Munster, this new Twitter account opened up, which is a mixture of their two names. This weekend or this week, it came up with a high definition video with circles around incidents where South African players were calls that went against South Africa. And you're looking at that and you're like, well, hang on, that's the kind of stuff that Razzie's done in the past for Farrell in his England jersey, shoulder tackles against South African players. Now, and to me, what he's doing here is he's just undermining referees by putting videos out there like that. Everyone knows this is an account that Razzie and Jax run. This is not an account that this is not a separate person. The quality of video, the quality of editing shows you that this is and the fact that it's done in the exact same way as two videos that Razzie's put out before. It's a no-brainer that it's Razzie that's doing it. Mm. Or he's got his video analyst to put it together for him and put it out there. To me, he's just undermining referees. Now, other social media pundits have said, hey, it's a bit of fun. He's having a laugh. Stephen, where do you sit on this one?
Oh, listen, I personally think he's just planting seeds at the minute, Paul. And basically hoping he can basically gain support with officials or maybe just put those plants in the mind for the next official that goes out there for stuff to watch. I mean, as we all know, something happens in every game of rugby that happens. And speaking of every game that rugby that happens, there's about a minute to go, and Canada have just scored its 21 points to 10. To New Zealand. May not have enough time, the Canadians, but they've been all over New Zealand in the last 2 or 3 minutes. I find it a bit annoying, to be honest, Paul.
Yeah, look, I honestly, look, we've had head coaches for years come out in the press and go, oh, their players always drilling in and all this kind of stuff, and just saying things in the press to get in the mind or to raise awareness of issues that they want the referee to look at. Now, to me, as Nocturnal writes, South Africa being trespassed against, of course they wouldn't do it themselves to others. Absolutely. If he'd pulled out and it was a balanced one, showing the stuff that that had been missed that were calls that went South Africa's way, then okay, cool. But just the fact that it's so one-sided, I think it's opening up the abuse for referees as well by saying, look, referees get it wrong. Aren't they awful? I'd love to see him put together a video showing when all his players have made mistakes. That'd be fantastic. Because let's be honest, players make a lot of them.
I was going to say, Rassie must have spent some time with Graham Henry. If we can think back to 2007, after the All Blacks got knocked out of the Rugby World Cup, the former All Black coach put on an hour presentation with the New Zealand Rugby Union, outlining all the referees' misdemeanors during 80 minutes of rugby. So whatever he did, he obviously convinced that New Zealand Rugby Union board at the time that he was still the man to take the All Blacks forwards. But that's pretty much a sign.
There's a difference doing it to your boss and showing them why things went wrong, and doing it in public. Right, and that's, to me, it's the in public bit that I don't like. And by the way, New Zealand has beaten Canada 21-10 to progress to the semi-finals of the Olympics. And the next game up is Great Britain against the USA in about 5 minutes. Dr. Wright makes a point, maybe South Africa should play with ball in hand a little more instead. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, yeah. The way that the back four, you normally say back three, but back four, if you add Am in there, just didn't see the ball was horrible. So yeah, I think it's bringing the game to disrepute. I think it's a bad thing for him to do, I think it's sad that he's doing it. I'm not sure there's much more to say about that. As far as the Test series go, fantastic. The Lions won. I think one of the things that's going to be interesting is that unlike normal series, South Africa are going to improve during this series because they've had settled rugby together. They've been disrupted by COVID. We're not just going to see one team improving, which is what the British and Irish Lions normally do. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the rest of this series goes. For the series, a lot of people, the neutral wants the South Africa to win the second game. So it goes into a decider. From a personal point of view, where's my Lions jersey? Oh, it's there, front and centre. I'm all for a sweep by the British and Irish Lions. So hopefully they get the win. I don't expect to see many changes from either side, and it should hopefully be a cracking game. We will be live straight after the game with post-match reaction this weekend at 6 o'clock in the morning after a 4 a.m. kickoff. That'll be fun.
Here's a question for you, Paul. I know sometimes when you go to places like Europe and South Africa, the home ground advantage and especially the crowds that are there is a huge advantage. Is that an advantage that South Africa are missing out on?
Yes, but I think it's also something that players will be used to now because they've been living with it for 12 months or 18 months, whereas previously I think it would be a big difference on this one. I'm just going to take a quick break. I don't know if you want to continue chatting or whether we wrap things up here. Shall I hand over to you to actually have it? Do you want to have a quick chat about the Olympic Sevens and how it's been going?
Yes, I will. I'm just popping the battery on because I've noticed my battery's gone down. Yeah, good evening, everybody. While the show's been on, I've just been watching the Sevens, or the first game of the quarterfinal Sevens, and of course the New Zealand team, the New Zealand Sevens team, came through and beat Canada by 21 points to 10, I think it was, and that was after they led by 21 points to nil at halftime. They found the Canadians a bit of a hard combination to break down during this particular game, and ended up doing quite a bit of defending in the second half, especially the fourth quarter of the of that sort of second half between minute three and minute seven. But obviously had just done enough to take out the victory in the seven. So it'll be interesting to watch some of these games that are is on this evening over in Tokyo. But it's something I want to also touch on just with regards to that British Lions and South Africa series that we have, or the first test that we watched on the weekend. Listen, like, at the end of the day, I think rugby is a game of little moments. I kind of think back to the kick ahead where the TMO basically found that maybe Willie LaRue may or may not have been offside. So there were just sort of little moments in that game. But I think I've got to say, at the end of the day, I personally think the better side won. And that was just based on a really good second half performance. Paul, good game management. And of course, boy, spot on goal kicking as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it sounds like you've been talking about the British Irish Lions game. I thought you were going to talk about the Sevens at the Olympics, but never mind. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a good game. But I think we should probably finish off by talking about, one thing we didn't mention, RTS. Well, RTS first, before Farah Palmer Cup. Leaving the Warriors early, travelling back to New Zealand this week. Now, the reason he's doing this is because the travel is being closed between Australia to New Zealand for the next 8 weeks. And that if you come back, you have to go through quarantine. But if you come back within the 7 days from certain areas, which I guess he's in one of those, then you can come back without having to go through quarantine. So he's come back early and has been released by the Warriors, been allowed to do that. Look, the Warriors season is over. They're on a 5 or 6 game losing streak. Don't forget to join the standoff show tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Well, I'll take you through all of that, and we'll obviously talk about RTS leading. So he's come back to basically avoid, as he's got a seven day window to get back before MIQ fits is enforced. Where do you see him playing for Auckland to start off with, and do you think he should go straight into the side?
I suppose it'll depend on a lot of things. We haven't even seen that Auckland squad named at this stage, so it's hard to know who they're going to have at second five, because that's the position that I'm hearing that they're going to basically run it, and I'm sure they'll give them an opportunity at some stage to run in that midfield position. But I think initially, I think they'll actually push him out to the wing. I just got to quickly say, on social network, he copped a little bit about deserting a sinking ship. But to be brutally honest, my comment to that, well, I think that ship's been taking in water for a very long, long time, Paul. And unfortunately, some of the players on deck quite haven't been exactly helping to bail that water out or patch the ship up, should I say, or ride the ship. So, I think the writing's on the wall. I think the Warriors organisation realise that they're pretty much out of the running as well. So, listen, I give the Warriors organisation a lot of credit for actually letting him go. And to me, he's not deserting the ship at all. He doesn't, if anything, that club probably owes him more than he actually owes that particular club. And it just makes sense also, given our lockdown conditions at the moment. Hey, let's the ship is right beside the Titanic.
The ship is right beside the Titanic. off track, but there was a fantastic tweet that showed that apparently they're looking at rebuilding building a replica of the Titanic and sailing it. And Leonardo DiCaprio replied going, "I'm not getting on that ship," or something similar to those lines, which is fantastic.
That's tempting fate.
Now, look, I think if the Warriors had been in contention for the playoffs, then him jumping out at this point would be abandoning ship. What's there left to play for? So, to me, from that point of view, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, there's nothing left to play for. No big deal. If they had been within finals contention, then he should have gone. As Aaron says, from one sinking ship to another with Auckland Rugby. Yes, maybe. It's you can see why he's come to Auckland Rugby and the Blues, right? It's again, they're one of the few franchises that can afford him. And it's been made clear that there is outside investment, paying for him to do this. This is not all the money for this is coming from New Zealand Rugby. Some individual investors have gone, we would like to see him play rugby union. We're going to foot up some money for this. So there's some rich individuals who want to do this. And Locke Turner writes, he will be great, but do we really need him playing rugby rather than league? It's not about whether we need him to or not. It's about what does he want to try and do, right? If he wants to give it a go, then let him give it a go. Absolutely. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, I don't see him as a winger or a fullback. I do think he is in the centre somewhere, whether it's 12 or 13. At the moment, New Zealand Rugby is stacked at 13 for the All Blacks. So 12 seems like a really sensible jersey to go for. At the moment, I think it's probably one of the jerseys, one of the few jerseys in the back line that, or probably the jersey in the back line has got the least or the shallowest depth in it. From my point of view, you think Antoinette Brown, Goodhue, Rico Iwani are all 13s, not 12s. And you're looking, okay, David Avili is a 15, he's not a 12. I'm not sure there's one natural 12 at the moment who has played rugby for the All Blacks. So
probably not since Ryan Crotty.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Crotty, Samba Williams, those two have been the last 12s that have been available for the All Blacks. Now, sure, Ryan Crotty played 13 sometimes as well as 12, but I'm saying he's probably the last one. So there really is an opportunity there for somebody to be a 12. So it'll be interesting to see if he does it or not. So good luck to him. But we've seen with Benji Marshall, we've seen with the Auckland Rugby has got issues, as you said, with the number of players who are leaving. There's something wrong in the back office, off the pitch. The Blues are not great at developing players historically. Let's be blunt. So if you wanted to be successful, I'm not sure it's the best place to go, but it's where the money is, and that's where he'll be paid to go. So yep. So the Farrell Palmer Cup has started last weekend. I was at one of those games to watch Kansas Manukau versus Bay of Plenty. You can see the interview, post-match interviews with players on the New Zealand Sport Radio Facebook page. But just quickly, in that game, Bay of Plenty came back to, Kansas Manukau came back to win the game 21-13 against Bay of Plenty. So far, your early pace setters are Auckland with the two wins from their two games, as well as Canterbury, unsurprisingly. But Waikato did push Canterbury close last weekend. Those two are going to be there or thereabouts at the top of the table.
Paul, I was going to say the pleasing thing for me, looking through the scorelines, I know last year we saw a lot of one-sided scorelines, but gee, we had three games on the weekend that could have gone relatively either way. Tasman, North Harbour, of course, that was the first game taken out by North Harbour. Listen, I watched a bit of the Canterbury-Waikato game. 24-17 was the final score, but you know what? Waikato had their chances. Listen, great game through the middle from Chelsea Alley. Boy, she's a class footballer, very class midfielder, and a lot of her attacks were sort of spiked around her, but they had their opportunities against Canterbury, and it was kind of a repeat of that final last year. I watched the Northland Kauri Hawke's Bay Tui game, and of course the Kauri came back from 15-26 down at halftime, and once they got their offloading game going, and a lot of their attacks once again centering around Crystal Murray, who was like a runaway train in the middle of the paddock, getting offloads away. And once they got their game together, they probably ran over a tiring Hawke's Bay Tui team. Saw a little bit of the Manawatu Cycles game over Taranaki Fior, 48-5. Two far too good in that game, and might be a bit early to call it, but probably in that championship division, maybe Northland Kauri and Manawatu Cycles, who meet this Saturday, and I'm going to be up in Whangarei and hopefully get some after-match interviews for next Tuesday's show. That'll give us a bit of an idea who's who's the favourite to take out the championship division, Paul?
Yeah, I think, look, we're back to Premiership rather than North-South. We shouldn't get the same big blowouts that we got in some of those games last year. But you look at the Premiership, already Auckland and Canterbury are setting the early pace, and they'll be there or thereabouts. Already Otago and Bay of Plenty both look like they're going to be in trouble down fighting it out for relegation, if there is relegation. Similarly, in the Championship, you say Manawatu and Northland, the two sides to beat, and you say facing each other this weekend is going to be a big guide as to who's going to be top there. But I expect those two to both be in the final at the end of it, to be honest with you. Harbour got the win at the weekend over Tasman, but only by 3 points. And Tasman know they lose all their players. They're a very young side because they don't have a university, and so they all go down to Canterbury. So it's a very young side that they have there. I'd expect. I think we're seeing some early form already. That the Storm, Auckland and Canterbury will be Premiership favourites. Otago and Bay of Plenty are going to struggle in that top division, especially with Otago. With Bay of Plenty. Remember last year, all the Sevens players were available, and obviously. I was going to say Tyra, but no, wrong place. What do I mean? Where do Bay of Plenty play? They play in Rotorua and they play in Tauranga. Tauranga is the home of Sevens, and hence, obviously, they had a number of Sevens players available to them. And then in the Championship, we say Manawatu and Northland top there. I hope to... Well, I'll see if I can make the Bay of Plenty versus Waikato game this weekend. But I do have my daughters with me, and I'm not sure they're going to enjoy getting dragged out to the rugby ground for the afternoon. But let's see how that one goes. I think that wraps things up for Stephen.
Yep, it certainly does. I'll be up in Whangarei this Saturday. I'll be up, not too sure if we're live streaming the preseason game between Northland and Auckland, but I will basically see if I can get some interviews for that particular game. Also, East Coast Ngāti
Porou. Wait. When he says we, he means Northern Rugby Union. Yep. Northern Rugby Facebook page, not New Zealand Sport Radio Facebook page.
Yes. And, of course, the Northland development squad are playing Ngāti Porou East Coast, and that's basically a return game from last year when the Northland development squad went down to Ruatokia. Had a great time down there. I'm pretty sure they'll find the hospitality up at Siminoff Stadium just as good as it was last year. And of course, the last of that triple header is the game between the Kauri and the Cyclones. God.
Fabulous. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the live chat. Just one thing here. So there's just one criticism about the TV coverage of the women's after women's competition, and they need to stagger the time for the games. It doesn't help splitting the audience up. Well, yes, but I think the reality is that this is still a participation and attending tournament rather than a TV audience tournament at the moment, and they just need to grow it. And by putting all the games on TV, at least it's a step in the right direction for that. Don't forget the NPC will be having games on at the same time this year, two games at the same time, which makes things a little bit harder for some of us. So, yes, GB currently in trouble against the USA in the Olympic Sevens, trailing 21-7 in that one. USA, serious side with players like Carlin Isles and Perry Baker, obviously. Stephen, thank you very much. Don't forget, tomorrow evening, it's the Standoff Show at 8 p.m. to talk all your rugby league action and RTS leaving. And we'll be back for post-match reaction to the Lions game on Sunday morning.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.